Good morning, everyone, and welcome to St. James Westminster and the season of Lent. Two announcements. We're going to be doing some new service music for the season of Lent, and I do have some copies of the music. So if you think the notation might be helpful for you, I can give you one, and you can just leave it on the front pews at the end of the service. So is there anybody? Look at all the takers. Anybody else on this? I didn't mean to neglect this side of the church, but Terry? There you go. Two left. Heather, Adele, there you go. I'll make some more for next week, but if you find that helpful, do let me know and I can make some more copies of that. And also for the psalm refrain, I think we'll try to put that up on the slides. The second announcement for me is if you look by the Hammond organ over there by the stool, there are two boxes of hymn books. And I was thinking of you, Peggy. Those are free for the taking. They're from Church of the Epiphany, and they realize they had more hymn books than they will ever have congregation. Feel free. There are words-only editions, and there's music editions, too. So help yourself. And that's an open invitation to anyone. If you'd like your own copy of the Common Praise hymn book, they're right over there, and we'd love you to take those home. Okay? Thank you very much.
Hold us in your grace. We confess to you our selfishness and our lack of love. Fill us with your Spirit.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
We confess to you our fear and failure in sharing our faith. Fill us with your Spirit.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
We confess to you our stubbornness and lack of trust. Fill us with your Spirit.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
We confess to you, Lord, all that distracts us from your mercy and love. In your gracious compassion, fill all creation with your Spirit.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Welcome to St. James on this season of Lent. Welcome to this place where we journey together. There's a few announcements before we get into the bulk of our service. The first is that this Friday is the parish's first game night, family game night, parish game night. It's an opportunity for us to enjoy each other's company, to intentionally make time to laugh together, to share together, and to play together as a family does. My hope is that this game night will be the first of many, and I would invite you to invite friends, families who might not be comfortable coming to service on Sunday, but who might be willing to come and play games so that we can build connection and community. For the church really is reflected in one another as much as in the worship that we do. So on Friday at 7 p.m., please come for game night. And I believe there is another announcement.
I don't know how many of you have been here long enough that you remember the loaves and fishes campaign that we used to do, where we collected food, and it was usually done in February. This year, for Lent, we're going to do another food campaign. It's going to be called Fishing for Food. And we invite you to join us in our fishing hole after the service as we go fishing. The fishing hole is in the Great Hall. We have some fishing poles, and there are little cards that you can fish for something to bring for the collection of food. The food is being collected for the Church of the Epiphany and for Huron University College. So I've been in contact with both of them, and they've given lists of things that they are asked for most often. So those are the things that we ask you to fish for. There's master lists in there as well, but you just put your fishing pole in. It has a magnet on it, and you can pull out something. If you don't like it, we do have a catch-and-release system. You can throw it back and try again, or you can just pull one off the board if you think that'll work better for you. So in the Great Hall, and this will go all through Lent, we hope you can pick something today, pick something next week. None of it is huge amounts, and will continue until Easter. And every week the food will come in, we hope, and will disappear because it will go out to the food cupboards. Neither one of them have huge space. So although it says toilet paper, that great big thing you get at Costco might not work. And it might not work for a university student carrying it across campus either. So think ahead. Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son fasted 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted as we are, but did not sin, give us grace to discipline ourselves in submission to your Spirit, that as you know our weakness, so we may know your power to save. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from the first letter of Peter. Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Remember, O Lord, your covenant. compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. Remember not the sins of my youth and my transgressions. Remember me according to your love, and for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Gracious and upright are you, O Lord. Therefore you teach sinners in your way. You guide the humble in doing right, and teach your way to the lowly.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, here we are again in the season of Lent, these 40 days. Every year, on the first Sunday of Lent, we read about Jesus being driven out into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days. And so the 40 days of Lent are very much connected to Jesus' time out in the wilderness. But this is liturgical year B, the year that we read from the Gospel of Mark. Now, in the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew, we have incredible stories about Jesus being out in the wilderness. We have the stories about Jesus being tempted by Satan and Satan saying to Jesus, if you're hungry, turn this rock into a bread. And up on the top of a high tower, look at all the kingdoms of the earth and I'll give these to you. And Jesus has this long dialogue and a wonderful conversation and inspirational talks for us about how to resist temptation. And those make great sermons. In Mark, we had one paragraph. So this might be a very short sermon, but that's okay. Mark's gospel tends to be very brief on so many things. Mark wants to get to the point because the point is so important and the point is so powerful. And the point that Mark is always pushing towards at the expense of narrative is that Jesus rose from the dead and that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ, the Savior of the world. That is a great thing to get towards. And yet it is interesting, isn't it, how in each one of the Gospels, Jesus' public ministry begins with his time alone, in quiet, in temptation, in the desert, in the wilderness. And so it's almost worth taking the time to think about the starting of our journeys and where we grow more and more into God's likeness. You see, one thing that I absolutely believe is that people are really weird, but people also reflect the grace of God. They reflect God's goodness in a myriad of ways. One of the strangest and yet most uplifting conversations I've ever had was with an individual I met in Regina who was so excited to go into the Mason's Lodge. And he was going into the Mason's Lodge because it was the last example of post-war roller impressionist wallpaper still in its original context. And he was writing a doctoral thesis on it. This guy was so excited about wallpaper that it was infectious. And that's one of the weirdest conversations I've ever had, but it was also so delightful and so much fun. People reflect God's grace. We cannot contain all of God within ourselves. God is infinite. And so when we encounter people and talk with them, we see reflections of God in everything. God's so much bigger than ourselves. And yet if that is true, then sometimes the opposite is as well. When we're alone, we can often find ourselves falling into temptation. When we're alone, that's sometimes the hardest moments. For those of us who've lost loved ones, we know how true that is. So it's not surprising that Jesus' ministry starts when he's alone and is tempted. In Lent, we're invited to recognize that in our journeys, we all start from a place of solitude, a place where the faith needs to be true within us when no one is looking. But it's a choice that we make. I know when I'm alone, I have a temptation of doom scrolling, which is where you have a YouTube video and you watch one and then you watch the next one and you watch the next one and you suddenly look up and like an hour and a half has passed away, maybe two or three if it's been really bad. And so that's a temptation that you can fall into that you wouldn't so much alone. In my address to the parish for the Vestry Sunday, I said that the spiritual life of St. James needs to balance two things. It needs to balance the public life of faith, where we're working together and doing things, but it also needs to balance the private life, the life that we have when we're on our own, when we're not being watched over by others, and we risk falling into temptation and sin. Now, one of the things that I want to talk about is that all of us have room to grow. And that's not a popular message these days. We like to hear that we're perfect just the way we are, God loves us, and everything's good. But the truth is, and I think each one of us knows it deep down inside, we could be better. We could still have room to grow. And this isn't a bad thing. It's not because God is infinite. God is beyond limits, and so we are invited to continue to grow. We always have room to grow more and more into God's likeness. And the fact that we are being invited to means that we're worthy. We aren't discarded. We aren't cast away because we are worthless or super bad. We're invited to continue working on ourselves to increase in holiness so that we can grow into more and more the image of God that is ever beyond us, but is always calling to us and beckoning us to grow more into faith, grow more into holiness, grow more into righteousness. Lent is a wonderful time to practice this because it's our time to be in our wilderness, to focus on the things that we need to do. But it's also a call to us to look around at the people beside us, because while we might be alone, there are others around us who are also in their solitude, people who are struggling and disconnected, people who are lost or who have lost someone. Lent is a time in our solitude to see God's face reflected. And it's also an invitation to us to reach in and make deeper connections with one another, to see what God is doing in an intentional way. Lent is a time of journeying, our own personal journey, and accompanying others. Jesus' ministry starts from this place and launches out into a public way that is incredible and profound and changes the world. Let us walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Let us work on our own personal spirituality so that we can reflect God's goodness in the life of those around us, which might call us back into our own solitude to reflect on what we need to continue to work on, that will call us back out into community, into relationship, to build up each other. I am so thankful that every year we get this chance to journey on our own towards God and together towards God. For in the journeying we are found, in the struggle we are saved, and in our hope we know the truth that God is with us now and always. Amen. I'd invite the congregation to stand. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God,
Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
I'd invite the congregation to adopt a position of prayer.
God of grace, your kingdom draws near to us in your Son. Increase in your church trust in the fulfillment of your promises. Fill our hearts with the joy of your good news announced to us. God of our salvation,
we trust in your promise.
God of grace, prophetic witness led to John being arrested. Be with all who courageously make a stand for justice and liberty. Give us faith to trust in the victory of right. God of our salvation,
we trust in your promise.
God of grace, you set the world in a universe of awesome wonder. Awaken all peoples to the urgent need for ecological balance. In your mercy, bring humanity back from the brink of self-destruction. God of our salvation,
we trust in your promise.
God of grace, in the wilderness, your Son had to face the limits of humanity. Hold in your tender care all who suffer. And at this time, we think especially of Anna Woodson, Eunice Smith, Sylvia Brightwell, Catherine Russell, Marlene Fagan, Robert Janoska, Gavin, Joan, Sean, Frida, and Ashley. We put our trust in you, O Lord, God of our salvation.
We trust in your promise.
God of grace, in baptism we are united with Christ's death and resurrection. In this hope, we commend to you all who have died. And we think today especially of Liz Bailey. And we ask for your comfort, for Walter, and for their family. May we too come to enjoy the benefits of your beloved. God of salvation,
we trust in your promise. Would the congregation please stand? Having made our confession at the beginning of this service, we turn now to the peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace with one another. Let us pray. God, our refuge and our strength, receive all that we offer you this day, and through the death and resurrection of your Son, transform us into his likeness. We ask this in his name. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth, because you bid your faithful people to cleanse their hearts and to prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that reborn through the waters of baptism and renewed in the Eucharistic mystery, we may be more fervent in prayer and more generous in the works of love. Therefore, we raise our voices to you in praise and proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command, we
remember his death, we await his resurrection, we await his coming in glory.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. in the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. And as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
We break this bread. Let your church be the wheat which bears its fruit in dying.
If we have died with him, we shall live with him. If we hold firm, we shall remain with him.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Faithful God, in this holy bread, you increase our faith and hope and love. Lead us in the paths of Christ, who is your word of life. We ask this in his name. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship comes to its close, but our service to each other now begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This is the first time through. I think it's a little bit of a fire. Thank you, Paul.